going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
The Bills were actually my first formal meeting at the Combine, and I think it went great. And then I had a top 30 visit with them, and man, I was blown away. Like, I enjoyed every second of that. Every coach, my position coach, the DC, the head coach, the GM, like, man, I got along with everybody, and it just felt like home. And I'm so excited that that really made it happen.
There he is, Max Hairston, out of West Bloomfield, Michigan, and the University of Kentucky. Ninth player from Kentucky the Bills have ever drafted. Stevie Johnson is a famous one. Ray Davis last year. Johnson is the most recent after that. Also, Rod Stewart.
What?
Rod the Bod was a Bills draft pick in 1979.
Wow.
A sixth-round running back named Rod Stewart.
Rod the Bod.
Rod the Bod, right? That's the name, isn't it?
Rod the Mod.
Is that Rod the Bod?
No.
My whole life I thought it was Rod the Bod.
Rock singer Rod Stewart.
Yes.
Of Faces and other fame.
Yes.
Rod the Mod.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Mods. Mods is like a musical and like it's subculture within, like, there's you know, your punks and your mods and your bikers and your greasers and
okay.
Mods.
Here, well, I thought I was kind of showing off for you that I knew a Rod the Mod star's nickname.
Mod, you'd like
I've been wrong.
You would like Mods. Very well dressed.
Okay.
That was their nice thing. No, very neat, like suits and like very, very nice clothes.
That's a nice compliment.
Yeah.
Some great clothes last night, I thought.
Oh, man.
The Genty shoes, the diamond-studded Crocs were a great, on a tuxedo.
I thought when he walked out, he was wearing different shoes. I saw a picture of him coming in, and I saw those Crocs before the draft. But I felt like he was wearing something different.
Maybe
when
he was
out there.
Red carpet is what I'm thinking of. That's the picture I'm thinking of.
Right.
With us now, the host of Bet Sweats, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Sam Panayotovic. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Check out the latest lines today on the BetMGM app, and be sure to catch Bet Sweats live 9 to noon weekdays on the newly rebranded BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. Sam, I believe, is poolside as we.
Yes.
Welcome him to the show today.
It's some sort of slushy frozen drink.
Are you at least going to move away from people for this, or are you just going to be like right out there?
I moved to the back. I'm a little close to the waterfall, but I wanted that for the ambience.
we appreciate
the slushy
that.
Stuff, the slushy stuff is rookie ball, though. We don't get to the majors until later tonight.
All right. What's in that cup? Some raspberry vodka thing?
I can tell you exactly what it is. It is a strawberry daiquiri with a Bacardi float.
Oh, who doesn't love a Bacardi float?
You got to get the Bacardi float.
Absolutely. Sam, you're living well. I enjoyed your show today with Joe. How did last night go for you?
I only made 4 bets. My 2 biggest are the ones we talked about last week. Loveland under 19.5. I had Williams from Georgia under 15.5. Those guys went 10 and 11, so those both hit. Those were my biggest bets. And then I lost Golden to be the first receiver not named Travis Hunter. I liked the bet. I thought it was the right size, wrong shape. McMillan going eighth, that's going to ruin any bet like that. But You know, Golden was plus 170. I thought he slid a little bit deeper than I thought. He's going to be a really good player, though, for Green Bay. And Matt LaFleur was on the McAfee show today kind of breaking down how they're going to use him. And I went, ooh, maybe I like the Packers a little bit to hear LaFleur get so excited about using that speed, because that's the one thing about the Packers. They have a lot of decent possession receivers. They don't really have that burner, and that's SEC burn right there with Matthew Golden. So if he can take the top off deep, all of a sudden it becomes easier to throw the ball. And then obviously, as you guys know, if you can throw the ball, you can run the ball easier. I thought that was a really nice pickup by them in Green Bay. Who had a better night than him in terms of like getting his ego going? He's rumbling through the crowd outside the stadium and, you know, dressed like a damn pimp. I thought he was having the time of his life last night.
He looked angry though when he was drafted. At first, they came through that hall. I thought Golden. They came through that hallway, and a bunch of guys were just dancing around and tapping their new team's logo and everything. Golden did nothing. He had a scowl on his face, didn't touch the logo. Just, you know, seemed miserable by the result. But if I'm right, he certainly did seem to warm up to the idea in very little time.
He was saving it up till he got out on the stage. That's all.
Maybe it was all an act. I don't know. You didn't have any QB2 action, Sam?
No, we had thought about doing Dart to go before Shador. I didn't know what to do with Sanders, and I think we talked about this last week. I've never seen a player in terms of a draft stock with the betting market. The first number on Sanders was 3.5. And I think I remember this. I was in Chicago. It was a late Friday in March, and I said, I don't know how he goes 1, 2, or 3. And then that number got to 6.5 and 8.5 and 9.5 and one of the books had 21.5 night of the draft, and I didn't know what to do. And usually those moves are true. You know, we saw it the other way with a guy like Kelvin Banks, who was 23.5 and went down to 13.5. He goes number 9 overall. A guy like Williams goes from 15.5 to 11.5, goes 11. Tyler Booker went from 28.5 to 16.5. He goes 12. Usually the moves are true and all the numbers hit. I just don't remember ever seeing a guy open at 3.5 over under, close at 21.5, and fall out of the first round. It's something I've never seen before since we've been able to bet the draft across the country for the last, you know, 7 years or so. Mm-hmm. I also remember the three of us talking about him going into these interviews with sunglasses and chains on and people being like, what is his deal? And I don't know that his awareness is all that high as a human being right now. That doesn't mean that he can't be a good player in this league, but I think he was certainly humbled last night. He had every single NFL team hat in his draft room that he had built for Thursday night and that $100,000 gold chain on, and he doesn't get picked. If that doesn't wake him up, nothing will.
Well, I wonder, you've mentioned this before with us, like that his style might be throwing teams off. And I don't know, man. I got to say, I think if a team is thrown off by a guy being stylish and outgoing in that way, I think they're doing it wrong in 2025. I mean, I think he could wear a diamond-crusted tiara and a miniskirt to the draft. If he could play, he would have gotten picked. I just don't think he can play well enough. He can play. He's going to play in the league. But to be a first-round pick, I just never trusted the talent. You know, I mean, there's a lot of hype. And, you know, the fashion, I guess, is a part of that. But, man, if I'm a team and my GM or my scouts are like, yeah, I don't like his necklace, I'd be like, you're fired. You know, can he play? That's what I care about. And I just don't think the tape tells you, you know, the arm isn't great. The athleticism isn't great.
It's size.
Like, I mean, there's nothing really elite there other than, you know, name recognition. And that's only going to get you so far.
I heard an interesting comment this morning. Somebody said, what if his dad was Barry and not Dion? Would it be different? I don't know that answer. I think it's a very fascinating debate. If his dad was a lot calmer and a little bit more private, maybe it worked in his favor. I don't know. I don't think it's about the necklace. Let me be clear. I don't think it's about the shades and the glasses. I think it's about the general arrogance, not confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're a great player, to your point, Bulldog, if you're a great player, team.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Just we'll look away from that. If you're questionably good, I think it hinders you, if that makes any sense. Like, it helps you if you're great. It doesn't help you if you're not great. And time will tell. Look, Mel Kiper was banging on the table last night saying that he was the best quarterback and the fifth best prospect. And I'm not saying Mel's wrong. I mean, 32 teams disagreed with him in the first round. But, you know, guys have slid in the past. Aaron Rodgers comes to mind, a guy who slid and was embarrassed night of the draft, and he's a Hall of Famer. So if it's channeled the right way and this gets his attention, it could actually be a boon in his direction. I think he's a fine player. Now he has to put the work in. He has to study the tape, and he has to not make music videos. Now he has to worry about being a professional quarterback. That is a big challenge for a lot of people.
I'll say I have no doubt that every organization has people in their football department that think this way, that would be offended almost to that level. Mm-hmm. They would be offended by it, and they might keep that mostly private because they are probably aware of how the world has changed. But I think it's real. You know, Caleb Williams was different, not in this same way, you know, painting his nails and the people having the, I'm thinking of Merrill Hodge, like people who had questions about what his dedication or maybe similar things. And, you know, for him, he was amazing on the field.
Right.
Less so as in his last year, but previously, and he went 101. So I think that's to Sam's last point there, that if you're so good, we don't mind so much.
The Kiper thing was kind of weird, I thought, Sam. Like, I don't know if you I watched ESPN all night. It's almost out of habit. And the way the draft started, like, the Titans are on the clock, and I'm getting Shedeur Sanders highlights. Like, they just went so hard for, like, the first 4 or 5 minutes of their actual draft coverage once the clock was ticking. And I just thought it was so misplaced and weird. You got to, you know, recognize the other guy is going number one. Everyone knows it. And I'm watching Sanders highlights and Mel, you know, I understand him getting loose later on and defending, you know, his opinion. I mean, he's been doing this a long time and, you know, fine. But right at the top of the draft, I thought it was really misplaced that they gave him that platform to talk about a guy that, I don't know. I wasn't expecting him to go in round one. I certainly didn't know that.
But the line was 21 and a half.
But it was just so weird that they spent that amount of time on him to start the whole thing. Was, I thought, misplaced.
So I was switching back and forth. I was on a plane. I was going back and forth between the Tampa Bay Lightning whiffing on another power play to the draft coverage. But every time I switched over, I thought, that's weird. They haven't talked about Shedeur yet. And everybody else was getting talked about, and they were breaking down Corso and how great Lee has been. And they talked about every topic under the sun. And then, to your point, Tennessee Titans are on the clock. Roll the Sanders footage. You're like, wait. That's the strangest idea. But I guess that was the best time for it, they thought. I don't know. I would have paid more attention to Cam Ward going into the pick. And then, of course, everything goes sideways when – Cleveland and Jacksonville make the trade. Then everybody went into a panic, and it's like, what do we do now? So I think the draft, you know, it's funny. Everybody said the draft starts at 5. Well, actually, the draft started at 2 when that huge trade happened, and then you went from there. So I was looking at some numbers right now. A couple books have odds up on Rookie of the Year, which I think is an interesting conversation. I'm not making any bets right now, but the favorite right now to be Rookie of the Year on the offensive side, you have a co-favorite, Cam Ward and Ashton Jeanthi are 2-1. Hunter is 750. McMillan is 10-1. Amari and Hampton is 12, and Matthew Golden is 18. You could probably draw the line there. I don't know that I would bet Tyler Warren, Sanders, Ibuka, or maybe Josh Allen, Jackson Dart. But I think Cameron Ward and Ashton Jeanthi are going to be the guys that get a lot of the headlines going into training camp. And I don't know that Travis Hunter is going to play enough reps on offense to win that award. On the D side, it's Abdul Carter. He's +2.25, very obvious favorite there, followed by Jalen Walker and Travis Hunter again.
Yep.
But I think, you know, we start to see more and more markets as we get into the month of May, and then we're going to be full steam ahead once we get to June.
Sam, as we wrap here, I did hear you say this morning that you were not going to do any draft stuff tonight. You were staying away from it. So I recognizing that, did kind of want to get your take on anything you might have in mind about it. What Sanders, where he ends up going, or Milroe, anything about round two at all?
There was a market this morning. The Browns were -350 to get Shadur. I don't love that. Now, that's come down a little bit. So now he's favored to go to Las Vegas at -150. That feels like a decent fit there. I don't know how much longer Geno is going to be an active quarterback in this league. So currently the market, Raiders -150, Browns 2-1, Saints 450. I'm still holding out maybe the Rams at 12-1.
Yep.
That might not be a bad place to sit him behind Matthew Stafford and let him develop. I don't know, Mike. I'm not going to lie. I haven't studied much of this today. I did bet the Timberwolves money line.
Yes.
And I also, you know, Sneaky Joe and I text like every day now about the Rockies. Did you guys look by chance? I'm guessing the answer is no. Have you seen the Rockies schedule in the month of May?
I heard Joe rattle it off today. I was listening carefully, so now I know about it through May.
I know they're in San Francisco next weekend because I'm going to Denver, and I looked to see if they would be at home, and I saw that they were going to be in San Francisco. I was like, darn it, I don't get to go to a Rockies game while I'm in Denver.
Sam said today that they might not win 40 games.
So here's the schedule. So after they play Cincinnati and Atlanta to wrap up April, you know, three against a very hot Braves team now. Here's May at San Francisco, Detroit and San Diego come to Denver. Then you're at Texas, at Arizona, then a seven-game homestand against the Phillies and the Yankees. Then you're at the Cubs, then you're at the Mets. I don't know how many games they're going to win. They might win four games next month.
Well, sounds like you're sitting pretty on that one. Enjoy a sunny weekend, and we'll talk next Friday.
All right, guys. Always fun. See you.
Thank you. Sam Paniatovic, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. For all your betting needs, check out the newly rebranded BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. Defensive tackle being the Browns' first choice would have paid pretty well. I don't know how much that would have paid, but nobody was on that. All right. We'll talk to Sal at 4, have a few minutes before that, 803-0550. Max Hairston, scheduled to speak down at the stadium at around 5. We hope to be able to carry that for you then. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.